This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and here I am amazingly still standing on the peak, or what was the bow, of what is probably the ruins of Noah's Ark right here in the mountains of Ararat in eastern Turkey. Wow, and when I'm here, I think about the amazing feat of Noah listening to the Lord's instructions, being willing to obey, and everything that was required for them to collect the materials to build this boat. And not only that, then for all of the animals to show up. And I'm thinking about what the neighbors and what other people had to say about Noah. They had never seen rain. There had never been a flood. There had never been a ship this size. Well, there had been ships. And by the way, this particular object is built in the traditional style of ancient ships. It is identical what we would find to ancient ships. And in fact, many ancient shipwrecks in other parts of the world are formed just like this. But what do you think Noah's friends and neighbors and the people of the region said about this man who said rain was going to fall out of the heavens, there was going to be a flood, and he began to build a big boat in the middle of a landmass where there was no sea? What do you think they said about him? I can just imagine they laughed at him, they mocked him, and they probably told a lot of really funny Noah jokes. Noah was building forever. I can hear somebody saying, ah, that old man's been building that thing forever. This is never going to happen. It's just his imagination. They probably told some of the funniest Noah jokes we can imagine. But a day finally came when God told Noah and his family to enter the ark, and God shut them in. And eventually the rains begin to gently fall, and then they begin to fall torrentially, and then the bowels of the earth were opened and the water began to gush forth. People were not telling jokes any longer. But for Noah to fulfill his assignment, he had to stand against a lot of negative opinions. And likewise, today we're living in a world which is changing the way that it thinks. It's modifying the way that it views the most basic things like sexuality, what is right, what is wrong. And when we just stick with what we've always believed, people call us backward, they call us primitive, they call us bigoted. But my friends, for us to really obey God and to float on a sea of destruction in the end times, we've got to stick with what we believe to be the truth, even if we have to stand against negative opinions. And if we'll stay true to our faith and resist those negative opinions and love the people that laugh at us, God will enable us to stay in a place of safety. And even if the world around us seems to be wrought with destruction, we will float on a sea of destruction. God will protect us. And that is what I'm going to talk to you about today.
Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and today we're going to continue the series, which is called How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. It's 10 parts, and it comes in multiple formats. The subtitle says, 10 Principles to Help You Sail Victoriously Through Turbulent End Time Weather. And we're dealing with a lot of turbulent end time weather. But my friends, we can sail through it victoriously if we know how. And that's what this series is about, and I want you to have it. And it comes with a great study guide. You can order these by going online, or you can just give us a call right now. And we're also offering you my book that I really want you to have, and you ought to order several, because this is definitely a book you're going to want to share with somebody else. And it's called Last Days Survival Guide. The foreword is by Perry Stone, and the subtitle says, A Scriptural Handbook to Prepare You for These Perilous Times. And you know, we really are living in perilous times. Well, how do we get through it? Well, on the cover of this book, there's a Bible and there are boots. We got to grab the Word of God, grab hold of the power of the Holy Ghost, put on our boots, and stomp through this era in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do it. We're not living in this age by accident. The very fact that we're alive right now means God chose us for this time, He has anointed us for this time, and He has equipped us for this time. And this book will help you to know how to get through this season. So please order yours today. And please remember to reach out to us if you have a prayer request. We're waiting to pray for you right now. We get so many testimonies from people whose lives have been changed after they have called for prayer. And I'd like to share a few testimonies with you right now. One person in our partner care ministry team said, "I just received a call from a woman who was not sure she was really saved because she doesn't feel anything when she prays. But I explained that if she received Jesus as her Lord and asked Him to forgive her of her sins, then she's saved." And then she said, "Then I think I need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit." I told her today was the day to receive it. So she prayed a simple prayer with me, and immediately she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What a divine appointment. If you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, call us and we'll pray for you. And today will be your divine appointment too. But here's another testimony. One man called to share just how great of an impact the book, The Point of No Return, has had in his life. He said he believes The Point of Return is a timely message as the Holy Spirit has given him direction as a result of reading it. He specifically wanted Pastor Rick to know how much this book in our ministry means to him. He relies on the teachings from this ministry and wanted to say that this ministry is a godly support system for his life. That is such a blessing. I'm so glad our ministry is a blessing to people. But hey, here's one final testimony. A few days ago, I reached out for prayer. I don't know if I've ever felt more oppressed or hopeless than I was feeling then. I felt cut off from God, but God hadn't cut me off. I watched Rick talk about not trusting feelings over God's Word and the need to spend more time in the Word, things I should have already known, but I heeded those instructions. Well, it didn't happen immediately, but the oppression is gone now, and I'm experiencing peace and joy again. God really brought me up out of a horrible pit. Thank you so much for your prayers, and thank you, Rick Renner and family and prayer team, for such love and such an amazing ministry. I love you. That is just precious. And friend, if you need prayer, we're waiting to pray with you as well right now. But reach for your Bible, and today we're going to return to the series called How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. And today, I'm going to ask you a question. Do other people's opinions bother you? If you are too influenced by other people's opinions, you'll never be able to do what God is going to ask you to do. But as you know, I took my team to the eastern mountains of Turkey, where we found the ruins of Noah's Ark. They really are there in the lower mountains of Ararat on a lower mountain called Mount Judy. The ruins of Noah's Ark are really there. And when you're there looking at the ruins of Noah's Ark, you can't help but think about what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 37. He said, "As the days of Noah were, so shall it also be in the days just before the coming of the Son of Man." So whatever was happening before the flood is going to be replicated again just before the rapture of the church. And that's the age that we're living in. And we need to know what was happening before the flood because it's going to happen again in our time. And that's why I taught a series called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. If you didn't order that series when I taught it, please go online and order it. It will really enlighten you as to what we're going to experience just before the coming of Jesus. But when we come to Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, the Bible tells us this about Noah and his family and the ark. "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." And then verse 17 says, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth," which means Noah and his family literally floated on the waters of destruction. That is amazing. But let me ask you a question. When God spoke to Noah and told Noah that he was to build the ark, something that no one had ever heard of before, when God spoke to Noah and told him that it was going to rain, something that no one had ever seen before, because until that time, Genesis chapter 2, verse 6 says that a mist came up out of the earth to water the vegetation. There had never been rain. There had never been an ark. There had never been a flood. No one had ever heard of these things. And now Noah, who is called a preacher of righteousness in Peter, begins preaching about what God has told him, that water is going to fall out of the heavens. There's going to be a flood. No one knew what that was. I'm going to build the biggest ship that's ever been built. What do you think people began to say about Noah? Or what about Mrs. Noah? It's interesting. The Bible never even gives us her name. She's just called Noah's wife. But she could have put up a fight. She could have said, "Hey, honey, are you absolutely sure that God has told you to do this?" Or how about Noah's sons or his daughter-in-laws? They could have said, "Hey, Dad, we love you and we're willing to do anything you want to do, but are you absolutely sure that this is what God has instructed us to do?" And when Noah began to collect two animals of every kind in his backyard, lions, tigers, bears, leopards, alligators, all kinds of dangerous animals, what do you think the neighbors had to say about that? Huh. And don't you think that in the 100 years Noah and his family were building and building and building and building, spending a massive fortune of money on resources, the people in the area probably said, "What is that old man doing?" Can you imagine the jokes they told? And you know, probably some of the Noah jokes were really funny back in those days. But Noah had to put it all aside and had to stay focused on what God had told him to do. And I want to read for you Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." That word "without" is the Greek word "choros." The word "choros" really would be better translated to be outside a place of faith, which means faith is a place. Faith is an assignment. And as long as you stay in your assignment, you're going to please God. But if you let negative voices or other people's opinions to pull you out of that place where God has called you, if you allow other people's opinions to pull you away from your assignment, then you won't please God. But my friends, it takes everything you've got to stay in a place of faith. And Noah knew he had to put aside all those negative opinions, all those jokes, other people's opinions about what he was doing, and he had to come into alignment with God about God's plan for his life. Wow. But it makes me think of a wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, which says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction." And according to this verse, a great fight of affliction always follows illumination. And the word illumination is the Greek word photidzo, which means to illuminate, but it pictures the brilliant flash of light that leaves a permanent and lasting impression. Well, that's what Noah had when God spoke to him. It was like a flash of light. It left such an impression on his life. God spoke to him. He was permanently changed. He knew what God had called him to do. Now he came running home to tell his wife, to tell his sons, to tell his daughter-in-laws, and people in the neighborhood begin to hear. And according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, a great fight of affliction followed his illumination, and that's what will happen to you as well. And I'm not telling you this as a bearer of bad news. I'm trying to equip you so when it happens to you, you won't be shocked. Everybody doesn't rejoice when you receive a heavenly assignment. In fact, this verse says he endured a great fight of afflictions. And the word "endured," which is used here, is a form of the Greek word hupomene. Listen to what it means. To stay, to abide in one spot, to keep a position, to resolve, to maintain victory gained. And in a military sense, this word "endured" pictures soldiers ordered to maintain their positions even in the face of opposition. It means to defiantly stick it out regardless of pressures mounted against it. I would translate it "staying power" or "hang in there power." And it is the attitude that holds out, holds on, outlasts, perseveres, hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and turning down every opportunity to quit. And the Greek word hupomene, which here is translated endured, pictures one that's under a heavy load but refuses to bend, break, or surrender because he is convinced that the territory, promise, or principle under assault rightly belongs to him. So when the Bible talks about us enduring, it means we have to make a decision to stick it out. We've got to let the Holy Spirit release in us hanging there power, staying power, even in the face of great afflictions. Wow. But hey, let's look at this. The word affliction in verse 32 is the Greek word pathema. It's where you get the word pathos or pathology. It describes suffering. But in the Greek language, it particularly describes an emotional struggle or mental agony. And here we find that one of the greatest fights you'll ever face is other people's opinions. You know, you can deal with yourself. You can even deal with the devil. But when your family is in disagreement with you, that can be tough. When your friends are in disagreement with you, that can be tough. And it creates a kind of pathos or a mental agony. And this verse says sometimes it's a great fight of afflictions or a great emotional struggle when you've received a word from God and other people have opinions that are negative. Then in Hebrews 10, verse 32, it goes on to say, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. The word gazing stock, the Greek word theatrizo, which describes a theater. You were made a theater. It means to observe, to watch, to study, or to scrutinize. It means to bring up on the stage for all to see, and it pictures spectators in the theater watching a scenario being played before them. They're on the edge of their seats waiting for the actors to make a mistake or to forget a line so they can scorn, ridicule him, and make fun of him. It can be interpreted to bring on the stage in order to scorn, to scoff at, to shame, sneer at, and to publicly humiliate. And often it is translated as the word spectacle. And here's what you find out. You live a pretty private life until you get a word from God. And the moment you have a word from God that gives you direction and you announce it, people begin to buy seats to the show. They want to watch to see, are you really going to do what you say God has told you to do? Let's use the example of Noah. He announces there's going to be a flood. Everybody begins talking. Is there really going to be a flood? He announces there's going to be rain. What is rain? What is the old man talking about? He says he's going to build an ark. What is an ark? No one's ever seen an ark. And people begin to buy seats to the theater to watch this show to see if what Noah said was really going to happen. Could he follow through or was he going to give up along the way? When you make a declaration of faith, you become theater for people to watch. Now, there's nothing you can do about it except make a decision that if people are going to buy a seat to the show to watch your life, you give them the best performance they've ever seen in their lives. If they want to see how faith works, you show them how faith works. You don't forget a line. You don't forget a thing. You go all the way to the end. If they want to see if it really works, you show them that when you receive a word from God and follow through, it really turns out good. You show them. That's really what we find in this verse, which says, partly while you were made a gazing stock, the Greek word theatrizo, you were made a theater. Everybody bought a ticket to the show to watch if you're really going to do what you said you were going to do. Now, if other people's opinions bother you, probably you're not going to stay on the stage very long. In fact, you might even run off the stage. But you've got to come into agreement with God, just like we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If anything pulls you out of a place of faith, you won't please God. So you've got to learn how to push all those negative opinions aside, do everything you can to jerk yourself into alignment with God, stay in alignment with Him, let His power flow through you as you do what He's told you to do. And my friends, you'll give all those observers a pretty good performance to watch. And in the end of the day, you'll see God's victory work in your life. That is just amazing to me. And by the way, I'm not speaking theory. I'm speaking from personal experience because God's given me a lot of assignments in life. And some people thought it was nonsense that couldn't be done, but it was done. It was done in victory. And every time we carries something to fulfillment, it shows other people that it can be done. My successful story becomes an encouragement to somebody else that just got a word from the Lord. Do you see how important it is that you follow through and you don't become overly influenced by other people's opinions? But Noah and his family literally floated on the waters of destruction because they resisted a lot of negative voices. They took a stand against the opinion of the world. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 7, verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark and lifted the ark up above the earth. Wow. They floated on the waters of destruction, and all those people with negative voices, they all drowned. But Noah and his family floated higher and higher and higher. And just like Noah and his family had to resist a lot of opinions, you're going to have to resist a lot of opinions in the end of the age, because there's all kinds of opinions these days on social media and everywhere else. And you've got to make a decision to shut your eyes and shut your ears to all that negativism and to stay focused and to get into alignment with God so you can do what He's asked you to do. And if you do, you can float through anything, and not just float. You'll rise higher and higher and higher, and you'll sail through in victory. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Hey friends, my name is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, it's referred to multiple times in the New Testament, but we read about it very specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And notice it doesn't say we must all grovel before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a moment when we stand upright, and the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where we're going to be reminded of all of our past sins. The word judgment seat is the Greek word bema. It really was a place where rewards were given. And a day is coming in my future and your future when each of us are going to stand before Jesus, and He will reward us according to how we obeyed Him in this life. And this life is a pre-qualification period for what we're going to do in all of eternity. But one day we really will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't grovel there. We're going to stand upright, and Jesus will reward us for our obedience.
It seems we are surrounded by the swirling currents of destruction in a world that has gone astray. Many feel besieged by these tempestuous times and worry about their loved ones, praying that they will somehow survive the fluctuating tides. Noah and his family faced insurmountable challenges, but God showed Noah concrete steps to ensure he and his family could rise above the confusion and float on a raging sea of destruction. In this series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days, Rick Renner takes you deep into the specific instruction God gave Noah and shows how those same instructions are needed again now to survive and thrive in a world gone mad. In this 10-part series, Rick covers how to be sure you are sealed tight and safe, how to stay steady in turbulent times, how to get God's personal instructions for you, how to act with fearlessness when God speaks. This powerful series will help you fill your heart and mind with victory and will show you how to rise above the destructive tides. And it is available in digital or physical format starting at just $20. In addition, we're also offering you Rick's book, Last Days Survival Guide, a practical and essential guide to help you protect yourself and those you love from the nonsense that is wreaking havoc in the world. And it's available today for only $29. Order the bundle of the series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days, and the book, Last Days Survival Guide, today. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code to order. Call or go online today.
This is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office, and this is another part of our new TV studio. This is where Denise is filming TV programs. And how wonderful that now we have two little studios, one for her and one for me, where we can interview guests who can't come all the way to Russia to be interviewed in our studio there. So when we're in the United States, we can interview them here. And that's what we've been doing all week in this wonderful facility which God gave us in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're so grateful for this building. It was really a gift from the Lord, and it's almost paid for. We've already retired 86% of the debt. We just need to go a little ways to finish this. We call it the Ministry Expansion Project because when this is finished, it's going to allow the ministry to really expand financially, to wrap our arms around the whole world where people need the trusted teaching of the Bible, and we know that's our calling. And if you're part of the giving team, I want to say thank you for helping us to retire the debt on this facility and to release those finances. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, I'm inviting you today to join us to help us finish this project. Wow, what a shout of victory we're going to give to God on that day when it's done. And just think of the people that are going to be reached. So thank you for being a part of the Ministry Expansion Project. Well, today we've been talking about resisting other people's opinions so you can follow through on what the Holy Spirit has told you to do. And I promise you that if you declare the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, somebody's going to have an opinion about it. And you have to decide that God's opinion is more important to you than anybody else's. But hey, I want you to order the entire series, which is called How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. And what I've taught you today is really important if you want to float on a sea of destruction in the last days. The subtitle says, 10 Principles to Help You Sail Victoriously Through Turbulent End Time Weather. And this series comes with a study guide. And we're also offering you my book, which is called Last Days Survival Guide, a scriptural handbook to prepare you for these perilous times. My friends, God's given you everything you need to make it through this season, and you can do it. Hey, if Noah could do it, hey, with all the odds that were against him, you can do it. What God has asked you to do is not nearly as tough as what he asked Noah to do, and Noah did the hardest thing of all, and because Noah obeyed and got into alignment with God and resisted all those opinions, we're here today. We're here because Noah refuse to listen to other people's opinions. My friends, you need to get into alignment with the Lord. And I want to pray for you right now. Put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you help every one of us care more about your opinion than anybody else's. And if you've given us an assignment to do, that is the most important thing for us to come into alignment with. Help us to put every negative opinion aside, to get into agreement with you. And we ask that your power would flow through us and enable us to carry out the assignment. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be back tomorrow, but please remember Ecclesiastes 8:4, which says, where the word of a king is, there's power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.